It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome back. Season 7.
Season 7.
Episode numero uno. I can't believe this is 7 years in the making since Jason Jones called me and said, hey, you want to do this radio show? Yeah, sure. Why not? 7 years in, and we're still doing it.
The rest is history.
Been a few co-hosts, Jason included.
Now it's me.
Now
second
it's
year.
Second year
with gracing the airwaves with Jonathan Ford of Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
And Jared King will be hosting.
Yes.
Post-game show at the Doghouse.
Live
from the Doghouse after every home and away.
Correct.
Football game.
On
KXKZ Z107.5.
Not 97.7, which I mistakenly put on Twitter. I didn't even think about it. I just thought football, ESPN 97.7. That's why they have that delete button.
When you think about how many more listeners are on the
Z. You're on the big boy.
That's right.
That station stretches from Mississippi to Texas to Fordyce down to Pineville.
All the way to Pineville, really?
Yes.
That's my neck
of the woods.
That's
your stomping grounds.
That's right.
Anyway, proud sponsor, lead sponsored this year by... That's your role.
Right, yeah.
You dropped the ball. It's a fumble in game one.
The problem is that it's such a mouthful.
The first one is a mouthful.
The first one is a mouthful. Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling's Smokehouse.
Give us a call on that Keller Williams Parish Wide Hotline, 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Send us an email to the Bleed Tech Blue Radio inbox, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Well, we've already looking over our outline. We've introed the show. We're going to preview a little basketball. They won a little bit last night.
Yeah, was it the food pyramid or something?
Pyramid food rockets.
The Rockets.
And they beat them by 82.
Yes, they did.
And in case you're wondering, Louisiana Tech basketball is playing in a preseason tournament in the Bahamas, something the NCAA allows once every 4 years, and it's something that they desperately need with 9 new faces on a roster. Allows them to build some chemistry, and we'll talk more about basketball in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll have Tommy McClellan, Athletic Director of Louisiana Tech, joining us live from the Bahamas. If it doesn't work technically, we'll just talk about basketball.
Sure.
But we're not live from the Bahamas.
No.
We're live from Ruston, Louisiana.
What a hard, hard job that must be to spend this week in the Bahamas playing a little basketball.
And then football recruiting, sitting at 18 commitments. Or is it 19? 18 commitments.
18 commitments at this point.
That is unheard of for Louisiana Tech in August to be 7 commitments away from being quote-unquote full for their recruiting class.
Absolutely. And these aren't just guys. None of these guys are guys that just got an offer and decided to go ahead and come. These are guys that all of them have offers and have been recruited by other schools.
So it's an exciting time around Louisiana Tech football, and then we'll talk about football. The season, of course, starts against Oklahoma in two weeks, a week from Saturday.
Yes, a week from Saturday.
We will have Josh McQuistion of Soonerscoop.com joining us at 6:30 to talk about that game, the X's, the O's, about how badly he thinks Oklahoma will beat Louisiana Tech.
Right.
That's going to be what's said, and I don't know that if right now I couldn't disagree with him. So that will be. We'll talk about the Oklahoma game in the 6:30 time slot and the 6:15 time slot. We're going to talk more football recruiting because there's just reading off the names will take quite a while.
Right. There's a lot of stuff to discuss as far as recruiting goes. We've had plenty of stuff to talk about without football, without even having had the season begin with as far as recruiting goes. A lot of guys to be excited about, a lot of stuff to look forward to, even to next year. I'm excited about next year. year, and this year hasn't even begun because of some of these commits.
The commitments, if you would have told me 2 or 3 years ago when we were doing BleedTechBlue.com that Tech would have 18 commitments in August under any coaching staff, I would have probably called you a liar. And here we are sitting in August and 18 commitments. It changes the way you publish a recruiting website. Let me just say that. Normally the summer is slow for BleedTechBlue.com.
Sure, sure.
It was not that slow this summer. When you have 18 commitments, you have 18 stories to do at least. Normally we're doing 2 or 3 stories on each commitment. That made this summer quite interesting. And then not to mention, late July, I went and got married.
Right, yes.
Yes!
Jonathan.
This is the first time I've ever done this show with a ring on my finger.
Married man, yes. I can tell it's a little heavy. You know, he keeps having to pick his hand up. It slams back down onto the table. It's still a little heavy.
It's a big ring for a big guy.
Getting used to the ring. So, I was glad that we were still doing the radio show with Jonathan Ford, not Jonathan Ransom. It's not Jonathan Ransom. He kept his name.
You went there, didn't you?
My friends, when I got married, they all changed my name in their phones to Jay Landry, or everyone calls me Jay, but Jay Landry.
And since everybody calls me Jay Ford, we thought that's why you never go by Jay here.
Right, I always go by Jared on the air.
Because that would just confuse people.
Jay Ford, Jason Jones, who also kind of goes by Jay, and then Jay King.
Yeah, so on the interwebs, Jason is Jay, J-A-Y, so it's quite confusing. The three Jays, the three Jays of radio. we're very thankful again for our sponsors. We've got more space for sponsorship, so if you're interested in sponsoring Bleed Tech Blue Radio, send an email to me, jford@bleedtechblue.com. I mean, I'll send you the rates and all that good stuff. We podcast this, so if you're an iOS user, check out iTunes. You'll find the Bleed Tech Blue Radio podcast, and we'll also archive these on SoundCloud. Make sure you check us out on Twitter, @BleedTechBlue, hashtag the show, BTB Radio, Jared @JaredWKing, and myself @TheJFord.
The J Ford.
There's not another one, is there?
No, there's not.
There shouldn't be, at least. If there is another one, or else I would be just J Ford. So I have to distinguish myself as the J Ford.
Right. It's more prestigious that way, too. It sounds more prestigious. It just sounds better. This has a better ring to it.
But if you have a question, hashtag us, BTB Radio. We'll find it. If you have a question, call the Keller Williams Parish Hotline, 888-993-7762. We'll take a little bit early break so that we can get into football recruiting at 6:15. Thank you for joining us on the first episode of Season 7 Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King alongside me with
the sponsors.
El Derte on the ones and the twos.
And, of course, the sponsors. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is sponsored by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Or, of course, you could tweet us with the hashtag BTB Radio or email us, radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Let's go to that Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline and talk to our friend Rafe on line one. How's it going, my man?
Hey, it's going great. Going great. Looking forward to the season. I have at least five reasons why I think that Louisiana Tech could be a kind of a dangerous sleeper in Conference USA.
All right, let's hear it.
Number one, Manny Diaz. And, you know, the way that things went down in Texas, I think that bodes well for Louisiana Tech. I think he's got something to prove. I think he was disrespected over there. And I think he is really in an environment where he can excel, work with the type of student-athletes that he likes to work with. Number two, Houston Bates. I think this guy's a 3-year starter at a Big Ten school. He I think that he seems like he's on a mission to go out with a bang. He really picks up right where we need him. That defensive end loses IK, so I think he's going to be an immediate impact player. Third one is Cody Sokol. Of course, everybody's kind of wondering what he's going to bring to the table as far as, even if he's going to win the starting job. But he's got some success. I know it's JUCO success, but that success throwing the ball, and I think that he's got the leadership and intangible to really take this offense by the horns. And, the offense was so atrocious last year and plummeted it to the new states and depths of awfulness that, sometimes small adjustments can make a huge difference. But a player like him, I think, brings the maturity and leadership in his position if he wins the job. Number four is, and this one's not new, but I think Kenneth Dixon is a little bit under the radar right now as far as people talking about him. He averaged over 6 yards a carry last year on a down year for him. He had to deal with injury, and that's something he's never dealt with before. I think it'll make him a little bit wiser on how to run and when to go hard and when to lay off. And so I think he's going to come back with a bang. And then those new receivers, Paul Turner, Connor Smith, I know was on the team last year, but he's kind of established himself as an identity. And Sanford Say, if he can get filled up. And some of the other guys that have come back, Sterling Griffin, realizing that he was hampered last year, he wasn't half the time anyway. All those components, I think, go together. And I don't know what it's going to produce, but I know it's going to be something that could be dangerous.
You know, Rafe, I totally agree with you, and I'll get more into my thoughts, of course, later in the show. But it's a totally different team this year versus last year, and I approached it with bated breath, not knowing exactly what was going to happen as far as how different they could be. But I'm with you. It could be Tech could surprise some teams early.
Well, and it could be a type of year. I mean, we talk about first-year coaches, and, everybody says Holt's underachieved. But, Dykes' first year wasn't exactly stellar. I remember watching that Grambling game going, this is what we call the whatever, hurry up.
It was high octane.
Whatever that was. But ethanol or whatever. But anyway, then you had Dearly, and his first year wasn't that good. And came back the second year, and we were pretty stellar team. So I really think we have more weapons right now than the Dooley second year as far as running back, quarterback, receiver on offense, and definitely defense. I mean, would you say this, Jay Ford, is this the best defensive backfield in terms of potential that we've ever had at Tech? What do you think?
Without a doubt, it's the best defensive secondary that since I've been following the team, easily. There's been years where you've got Antonio Baker back there, and you've got single guys, but you the group. I can't think of a time where there's been more talented four starters, and even their backups. They're basically too deep at every position, and at a school the size of Louisiana Tech, that's not normal.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's incredible that we've landed, really good cover corners, not just the starters, but, the backups as well. And, one of my favorite guys is Bryson Abraham. I think he's a player. I like him. I think he's going to fill a lot this year. And not counting, all the superstars, big names, A.B. and Liggins and, Xavier Woods. But he's the big safety.
The big safety of Lloyd Grogan?
Grogan, yeah. Those guys are we're counting on them. But anyway, I'm excited with that. Last year, sometimes a really awful season, you can either react and say, this is who we are, we're just bad. But everywhere from the summer conditioning to the hires and the offseason to strategic personnel placement, it looks to me like we're not going to be satisfied. Holt's not going to be satisfied with just mediocrity.
I completely agree with you, Rafe. Appreciate the phone call, and we look forward to talking to you again. I know it'll happen.
All right, man. Later.
Thanks, Rafe. We got another call coming in, but we'll go ahead and go through this recruiting class real fast. Rashid Rashid Bonnet from Laurelville, Louisiana, 6'2", 175-pound receiver, three-star athlete. We'll start with the three stars. Johnny Shaw from West Orange Stark High School in Orange, Texas, a former Texas and TCU commit, probably the most notable on the commit list thus far. Well, most likely, he's listed as a DB, but I see him as probably a safety, maybe corner, but I would probably say he's a safety. And then you look at the other guys, there's some guys of note. Jaquise Dancy from just up 167 in Junction City, another running back.
Right, another running back. LaDonte Davenport will be another guy to look at out of Northwood and Shreveport. Big 255-pound kid. Also, I just wanted to mention, you mentioned Johnny Shaw. Johnny Shaw, I mean, TCU commit, then a Texas commit, now a Louisiana Tech commit. Talking about when was the last time that Louisiana Tech was able to get the commitment from a guy like that, and especially this early?
Oh, it's never happened this early.
This early in the game. I mean, so that's what, when you come in, when you have guys like Oscar Giles and Manny Diaz and Blake Baker that have come in and hit the recruiting trail really hard, and then you already had really great recruiters in Jabbar Jalouk and Joe Sloan did a really good job last year. This coaching staff is obviously building a team. It's building a program. Building a program as opposed to building a team, and that's what I really like to see from Holtz and Company.
Let's put this on pause and go to the phone lines on the Keller Williams Parish hotline with our friend Bobby. Bobby, what's going on, man?
Hey, Jay. Hey, man.
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I heard you earlier talking about Hideaway Park. I had to call in and tell you some things about Hideaway Park because I'm real excited about what we're doing down there.
All right.
Try to encourage more tailgating.
Well, tell us about it.
All right. We have added electricity to all of the pavilions down there over the summer. So now we have each pavilion is lit. And so what that's going to do for us is going to open up that park a lot more for a lot more students. What we've seen happen down there at Hideaway Park since we started putting students down there is the number of students that are tailgating have almost doubled. We've got thousands of students coming into Hideaway Park, and now we're even getting alumni groups coming down there because it's cooler down there in the trees, and now with electricity at all the pavilions, we're getting calls constantly. People are already booking those pavilions and getting ready for tailgating. And so what we're trying to do is we're really trying to increase the amount of tailgating because we can't get everybody in the parking lot. And so Hideaway Park, one of these days, we hope is going to be completely packed full of people that are tailgating, getting ready for the football games.
Well, Bobby, if anybody knows what's going on in Hideaway Park, you're going to be the guy. So we appreciate you calling and not necessarily setting the record straight, but letting everybody know what's going on down there.
Yeah, man, that's what I wanted to do. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right,
man. Bye. Bobby Dowling, folks, director of the Intramural Center and all things at Louisiana Tech. So he's the man in charge at Hideaway Park, and that's exciting to hear that they've got electricity to all the pavilions down there. And it is significantly cooler.
Yes, it is.
In the shade of those trees than on the blacktop of Tailgate Alley and all that stuff. So that's really, really good news. Going back to recruiting, some other guys that excite me, Brandon Brinson from Ellender High School in Houma, a guy with tremendous upside, 6'3", 225-pound defensive end. The first commitment, Brandon Derman, a linebacker, 6'2", 230, 4'7", 40, squats, a house.
Yeah, I've actually confirmed with Brandon. Brandon's actually, you know, he's kind of stayed in contact, one of the few recruits that has kind of stayed in contact over the summer. He texts me every once in a while and just gives me updates on his weight. And about 2 weeks ago, I text from him, and he said, man, I'm up to 242. So he's put on 12 pounds since he committed. I'm going to assume that it's all muscle. And when you talk about a kid like that, 6'2", 240, roaming around at linebacker, runs a 4.7 40. I mean, that's a stocky kid.
It is, and he could, as long as he keeps his speed, he could end up playing some strong side linebacker as well in this scheme of Manny Diaz's. Another guy that stands out to me, T.J. King out of Irving MacArthur High School in Irving, Texas, 6'4", 220-pound D end. Another guy that can play kind of the Viper role in Diaz's defense. That's the role that Houston Bates is playing.
Right.
Where he's not necessarily a strong side or a weak side DN. He's playing on either side. He will change. For example, Vontarius Dorr will flip sides from time to time depending on what the offense is showing.
And, you know, we started talking about the three-star recruits. What I want to point out is that most of these two-star recruits that we're discussing are 5.4s on the Rivals star ratings. I mean, we're talking about 0.1 difference in a three-star and a two-star on here. Some of these guys could have been three stars with, you know, a couple of more offers or maybe one more, more signature offer, something like that. Rivals is just not giving – they're not giving away stars
three
like they
stars
used
like
to.
They used to.
Exactly.
Another guy that probably should have been mentioned already, Ephraim Kitchen, cornerback out of South Panola High School in Batesville, Mississippi. South Panola is a powerhouse in the state of Mississippi. 5'9", 177-pound corner with an Auburn offer. Committed to Louisiana Tech on June 1st. And he's a guy that all over Twitter, he and Johnny Shaw have been on Twitter talking about how committed they are to Louisiana Tech and how it's not about the size of the school. It's feeling like family and that kind of thing. And that's really something that Louisiana Tech's done a good job of over the years is hammering home the fact that it's the Tech family, and that's what they talk about at orientation, at timeout for Tech. It's the Tech family, so it's trickled down to football as well, and it's working.
And you know the Tech family is getting a lot bigger this year. This is actually one of the largest incoming freshman classes that Louisiana Tech has ever had. Not, you know, we're talking about students in general at this point, and so the Tech family is growing. It's not just athletics, and we're excited. We're definitely excited that Louisiana Tech is growing like this. One of the things that I wanted to point out was that I've seen several recruits. They've tweeted pictures of their official offer from Louisiana Tech, and on the defensive side of the ball, it's got Oscar Giles' signature on it, and it's an offer to join the Junkyard Dogs is what it's called on there. They've really been doing this hashtag JYD, Junkyard Dogs, all this stuff. Manny Diaz, Oscar Giles, Blake Baker, they're all very active on Twitter and stuff like that. Give them all a follow and keep up with that kind of stuff. They've really done a good job of making a footprint, social media footprint for Louisiana Tech as far as the coaching staff is concerned.
And something that's been going around on Twitter for years is when in some bigger programs, if somebody committed, they can't talk about the commitment in public. So they would have some kind of a hashtag
code word, if you would.
So Tech has adopted that, and they're doing hashtag Aruf, like a dog would bark. Of course, I probably didn't have to explain that, but I did anyway.
Right, you know.
You never know who's listening. You don't want anybody to be confused. So that tips off Tech Nation, Tech Family, whatever you want to call it, that there is a new commitment. There's somebody else has jumped in the boat. That's what I always say. That's how I'd say it to you all the time, that somebody jumped in the boat.
Right. And not long after that, Jonathan Ford has a tweet from Bleed Tech Blue with exactly who it is and a story and all this stuff.
You got to be on top of it. That's the key to this business. Another guy that I think may be he's possibly one of the biggest sleepers in the class thus far, and he was at FanFest, was Devontae Lovett, offensive lineman from Strong, Arkansas.
6'4", 280-pound offensive lineman.
He's 6'4", every bit of it, and maybe 6'5". He's huge. I would say he's even heavier than 280, but he will be a player for Louisiana Tech. I'm not positive that he'll play as a true freshman, but he'll have an opportunity to with all the seniors that are leaving along the offensive line. Another offensive lineman down at in Orange, Texas. They've got a factory of football players going on in Orange, Texas. Little Cypress Morrisville, 6'4", 272-pound Ethan Reed. And you talk about the defensive backs in Orange, Texas. West Orange Stark High School has Johnny Shaw, Trey Spencer, and an Alabama commitment all in their defensive backfield.
What a
good luck throwing against them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Just good luck with that. And it's nice to see though that we're talking about two of these kids being committed to Louisiana Tech. That's what's nice.
You look at right down the road in Bossier at Parkway, Dante Williams, a linebacker, 6'2", 205, committed in June. And then one of the most recent commitments, Javonte Woodard, another offensive skill position player from Houghton, 6'2", 200-pounder, can run. He's going to have a very bright future at Louisiana Tech. Let's take this break. On the other side of the break, we'll be talking with Josh McQuistion of Soonerscoop.com. Louisiana Tech, Oklahoma, and two Saturdays happening in Norman, Oklahoma. Josh will break down all things Oklahoma for us. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Season 7, Episode 1. Jared King, a couple of sponsors. Then we'll get to our friend Josh McQuistion from Soonerscoop.com.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse.
On the Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners hotline is Josh McQuistion of Soonerscoop.com. Josh, how did it do with the last name?
Jonathan, I was sitting there thinking, man, he really knocked. I think you practiced for a while last night. That was that's as good as I've ever been introduced.
People were probably wondering. I had to ask how to pronounce Josh's last name via email. So he sent it to me phonetically, and yes, the phonetic spelling is on the outline of the show.
One of the outlines of the show.
Because it does not look like it should be pronounced.
There's no question. And my pretty much every, whether it's history, English, or math teacher I've had my entire life, all completely agree with you all. So that has been a stumbling point for every teacher and coach I ever had.
Well, I'm glad that I'm not alone, because that is not an easy one. And as of the son of a former PA announcer, I have to have names correct before I say them, or I can feel my father yelling at me.
That's a pain I can understand, because as someone with a crazy last name, we tend to spend a lot of time making sure we get someone else's name right. So yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You sent the phonetic spelling pretty quickly, so I'm sure you've written out the phonetics before.
It's always interesting, because it kind of depends on if I'm ever going to have a chance to speak beforehand, because it really can get fairly complicated if I'm not pretty careful with how I do it phonetically.
Well, Josh, thank you for the phonetics once again. And, of course, Louisiana Tech, Oklahoma, facing off in Norman a week from Saturday. Football is here, folks, believe it or not. Talk about some of the biggest storylines going into the season for Oklahoma. Of course, it may be all of the suspensions, but what are the biggest storylines heading into the season for Oklahoma?
Well, you know, I think you hit it dead on, and it's so funny to think that football is 10 days away. That's going to be such a nice reprieve, which, you know, is funny to say, as you know, for a football reporter, because that's so easily our busiest time of year. But it's just going to be nice to talk about something that's happening on the football field rather than all the things that have gone on off the field, good and bad, for Oklahoma this offseason. I think you have to start with Joe Mixon, the five-star running back, who it was announced yesterday will be suspended for the season and really is not taking part in any team activities. He wasn't a guy that I think was going to start or maybe play a huge role early on, especially at this early point in the season. But, again, you're talking about one of the top 10 recruits in the country, a massive win for Oklahoma, really going into California and landing him. So I think it's a big deal, maybe even be on the field for Oklahoma. Kind of, it'll be interesting to see what it does to recruiting and their the inroads they've made in California in recent years. The other stories, obviously, Doriel Green Beckham is a huge one for people to talk about. His waiver is still in with the NCAA. Nothing's been finalized, but I do get the impression that Oklahoma thinks that this could happen for them. They think that waiver could get signed, and he could be cleared to play at some point this year. The final really piece that I think is of note, everybody talks a little bit about Baker Mayfield, the Texas Tech transfer, but unless Trevor Knight's injured this year, that's just not going to be a big story whether he is or isn't cleared by the NCAA. The one that is Frank Shannon, a returning starter at linebacker. Got into a little trouble in the spring off the field, and I think you've seen some positive signs that maybe it's going to work out for him. He's practicing with the team right now because his ruling is under appeal with the Oklahoma State Legislature. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what plays out there. But I think Oklahoma's okay behind him. I think Jordan Evans is a guy, a sophomore linebacker, is probably more talented than Frank Shannon and probably, given the time, will be a better player. But at the same time, Frank Shannon's the most experienced linebacker they have, and it's one of the few areas on the team that really hurts for depth. So I think as much as anything, it's just what his loss could do to the numbers and to the experience of Oklahoma.
And then defensively, talk about what a guy like – isn't it Stryker, isn't that his last name?
Yeah, Eric Stryker.
What does he mean to that team? I mean, he's anytime it's third down in any distance, he's playing DN and he's getting after the quarterback.
You know, that's the one, and it's so funny because when he asked me about the big stories so far for Oklahoma, it's all kind of about what's going on off the field. The interesting thing with Eric Stryker is the role that everybody saw him, you know, I guess really when he kind of went into national consciousness was against Alabama when he had the great game. He's kind of moving around a little bit. He's not going to play that exact outside linebacker role like he did last year. They're going to kind of put him in a nickelback situation. He's going to do some different things. But I think you're dead on. In third and long, you're going to see him come down to the line of scrimmage and try to create some problems for the quarterback. So he's just one of those guys. When he was recruited, Oklahoma ran a 4-2-5, a nickel package. He worked out at one of OU's camps as a safety. I mean, this was not his intended area. When he got there during his freshman year, Oklahoma switched over to a three-man front, and they really didn't have anywhere to play him. And I think one day they just kind of said, well, let's try this. And, you know, as we all saw, he has some natural ability rushing the passer. He's just one of those guys. I think more than anything, what he brings to Oklahoma, and everybody will talk about his playmaking ability and his athleticism, and those things are all true. Eric Stryker brings an attitude that Oklahoma has just sorely lacked through the years. They just have not had that guy that was willing to say, you know, we're going to line up 50 plays a game and we're going to beat you. And that's just the way Eric Stryker plays football. And I think it has lent itself to a lot of the team just kind of around the entire defensive roster. And I think it's why you saw Oklahoma really after that Baylor game when they really, you know, the score looked so bad. Oklahoma's defense was just on the field for an entirely too long that night. But if you look going into Kansas State, going into Stillwater, that big win against Oklahoma State, and then obviously the Sugar Bowl win against Alabama, that defense played pretty good football. Not perfect. They're still kind of figuring things out. I mean, that was their first year running that 3-4 front. But I think as the year went on, you definitely saw them get better. And Stryker was, you know, if not the catalyst, he was certainly one of them.
You say it's a base 3-3-5, then you call it a 3-4. So I'm assuming they'll bring somebody down and rush an outside linebacker or something every down. Is that typically what happens?
Yeah, and that's the thing they like. The only thing that's truly consistent about that defensive grouping is the three down front. They're going to have, you know, your four tech defensive ends, your pure nose. And I think, you know, Oklahoma, one of the guys that you really want to watch is Jordan Phillips. If he is healthy after missing in the last half of last year, he's a future first-round pick. If everything is okay with his back and he is playing like he can play, he is a huge difference maker for Oklahoma at that nose tackle position. But outside of that, it's kind of like what I talked about there at Stryker. It's going to be somewhat situational. Oklahoma's going to try to throw some different things at people. And I think more than anything, they feel a chance to get even more diverse this year because they've got some experience along the defensive line. They've moved some guys around, and I think the biggest portion for them is just trying to figure out where to get guys in that front seven. They've got a lot of bodies. They feel really comfortable with those groupings. It's just kind of how they're going to dictate situation and personnel and kind of make those two things mesh.
If there's one thing that Louisiana Tech you think could have some success doing, what would it be?
The thing, I've told everybody this, you know, regardless of what you're talking about, to me, if I am a offensive coordinator, I am attacking the middle of Oklahoma's defense. That's exactly the way I would look at it. When you look, again, I talked about the linebacker situation. Oklahoma doesn't have a lot of bodies there, and the bodies they do have are young guys. They're inexperienced, and frankly, they can be, I don't know, manipulated, however you want to say it. There are holes there to take advantage of. When you look a step deeper at the safety position, Oklahoma's going to have a new starter there, and the starter that returns, Quentin Hayes, is a senior. He started every game last year, but he had a lot of trouble with the deep ball. He had a lot of trouble with, you know, some of the zonal coverage that Oklahoma will run behind that seven-man front, and it lent itself to a lot of huge plays. I mentioned that Kansas State game. If it wasn't for Tyler Lockett having a banner day for Kansas State, Oklahoma blows K-State out of that stadium. But as it was, they just gave up one big play after another, and it really hurt Oklahoma and made that game a lot closer down the stretch than maybe it should have been. But, again, that's where I see the holes. I like what Oklahoma has up front. Their secondary has some, you know, some youth. Replacing Aaron Colvin, one of the better corners of the Stoops era, is a big deal. Zach Sanchez is a playmaker on the other side, but he's very aggressive. To me, it's just going to have to be through the air. They're going to have to find some ways to loosen up that front seven, to force guys like Eric Stryker to drop rather than to come at the quarterback. If you can make those things happen, then you can put Oklahoma in some situations you can win.
And so Louisiana Tech's, obviously their strength is the former freshman All-American Kenneth Dixon at the running back position. You don't think that Louisiana Tech has much of a chance to run the ball up the gut against the Sooners?
I don't know that running, you know, like I kind of mentioned, I really like what Oklahoma has. And when they pinch those defensive ends in, there's just not a lot of room between the tackles. Now, if you want to talk a little bit about off-tackle running at a guy like Eric Stryker, for all of his strength, he's 210, 215 pounds. You stick a big tight end on him like Notre Dame did last year, he really struggled with some of those bigger, more physical tight ends. If that can be done and Louisiana Tech can kind of attack off the edge, I think there's plays to be made there. I really do, and I think that's when you start to set up those linebackers. It's just a matter of if they can contain that front three, which, like I said, I think is as good as any group in the Big 12, and with Eric Stryker, with Geno Grissom, Jordan Phillips, I mean, you run down the list and you're talking about a lot of good players, but to me, that's how you nullify Eric Stryker to some degree. Run at him, wear him down, make him play in third and three rather than third and 13. I mean, I know that seems obvious, but, you know, against a good defense, it's easier said than done. But if Louisiana Tech can just stay ahead of the chain, they can soften a lot of what Oklahoma's going to want to throw at them.
And then if we flip the book and look at the other side of the ball, offensively, of course, Trevor Knight, he ended his freshman year, his redshirt freshman year, with a bang. Against Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl, and that was obviously probably his best game of his career. Do you think he continues where he left off? Is that what he's looked like this fall?
I think that's a little unfair to expect. I mean, the guy we saw in the Sugar Bowl is a guy that goes to New York in December. I mean, that he was that good that night. That's a Heisman Trophy kind of performance. But I just don't – when you look at everything else, it's kind of one of those things where one of these things is not like the other, and that's what I see when I watch that performance. It was great. He did it against a really talented defense, and I think we all know maybe wasn't as good as some of the Alabama defenses we've seen through the years, but still was a very talented, very good group. But at the same time, like I said, you look at the game against West Virginia or really against Oklahoma State, he wasn't having a lot of success in that game. Oklahoma wasn't doing much offensively. But At the same time, it's clear that there is talent there. I think with Trevor Knight, you've got to force him to prove that he can do what he did against Alabama. In the spring game, he again looked a little erratic. His throws were kind of all over the place. Now, again, it's a spring game. You don't want to take too much away from that. But it's just one of those things where it kind of left you wondering, was exactly what you asked. Is what we saw in New Orleans real, or the guy we saw for the rest of the season? Now, I think more of the more realistic version of Trevor Knight is probably what you saw against Kansas State. He ran for over 100 yards, threw for, I think his total offensive numbers were about 320 yards on the day, if I remember. That, to me, is more of what you can expect. Maybe, you know, 85 yards rushing, a little over 200 yards passing. Those kind of days, I think Trevor Knight's fully capable of doing that day in and day out.
Well, the strength of Louisiana Tech defensively is their back four, let's call it. The corners and their safeties are all returning. I mean, OU even offered one of the guys, and Kentrell Bryce from right here in Ruston several years ago, wanted to stay at home at Louisiana Tech, so he'll be back there in the backfield. I'm sure he and Stoops will have a good homecoming. Is that a concern that might be for Oklahoma, that is Louisiana Tech's strength? And I'm not just saying it's a strength in Conference USA. It's a strength truly for a lot of those guys could play for anybody.
You know, I think it has to be, because I will say that more than any other year, Oklahoma is prepared to run the ball. This is that they've got a good group of running backs. They're not all that proven, but, you know, they are the parade All-Americans and the guys you would expect to find at a place like Oklahoma. The offensive line, both tackles return. The interior players have a lot of experience, even if they don't have that many starts under their belt. But it's a good group up front. It's maybe not, you know, a one for the ages kind of thing, but it is a good offensive line. They like what they've got developing at tight end. And they've got a young fullback in Dimitri Flowers that they feel really can pick up where Trey Millard left off. And, you know, I know that's not a name that's well-known in Louisiana, but Trey Millard is probably one of the better fullbacks to ever play at the University of Oklahoma, maybe the best. So when you look at guys like that, they have pieces in place to run the ball if need be. But there's no question. I mean, Oklahoma, you look through the Bob Stoops era, throwing the ball has been their bread and butter. That's what they expect to do, and I guarantee they expect that they will be able to do it against Louisiana Tech. But like you said, that's a strength of the defense. So, again, to me, the teams that have given Oklahoma trouble have come out, created some turnovers, made a few big plays, and kind of taken that home crowd. You know how that is, opening night.
Oh, yeah.
At home, I mean, it's always a good experience. But if you could take that crowd out early, then things can start to swing in your direction. I mean, it certainly happened in Norman before. So, like I said, I think that is a real concern, because Trevor Knight, like I said, if you're talking about the guy against Alabama, he can go play with anybody who wants to. If you're talking about the guy we saw the rest of the year, he may struggle mightily. I mean, it's just you don't know what you've got because there's so little data.
Well, Josh, we really appreciate you joining us. Maybe we can do it again next week so we can really get a little bit deeper into some one-on-one matchups and that kind of thing. But like I said, thanks for coming on and joining us and talking a little Oklahoma-Louisiana Tech football.
Hey, I'd be happy to next week, guys. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Josh. Josh McCushton, co-publisher of Soonerscoop.com, joining us here on Bleak Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. My previous tag team partner, Jason Jones, has stepped into the room. He'll join us in the next couple of segments, talking a little Louisiana Tech. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Hey, mama said the way you move gon' make you sweat, gon' make you groove.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Long segment there. We'll have to make up for that time. Josh McCushton from Soonerscoop.com with lots of good stuff about Oklahoma. If you missed it, you'll have to check it out on the podcast or on SoundCloud. We'll archive the show later this evening. Give us a couple of sponsors, Jared, before we get into some football talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. It's actually Keller Williams Parish-wide pot partners.
Podnas.
But gosh, it's just so long. I was trying to
get
cut it down.
It. Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. Give us a call with your tech questions, tech comments, whatever, tech anything. give us an email, send us an email to the radio at bleedtechblue.com inbox. We've already gotten one email appreciating the show, listening all the way from Nash Vegas, Tennessee.
Really? Wow. Nice. On the app,
the place of my marriage.
On the app, I assume.
On the app, of course.
On the app, on the Red Peach.
We're not booming that far tonight.
Right. Well, okay.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
Jason Jones, welcome in. Glad you could join us. You sent a text and said, "Can I crash the party?" You can crash the party anytime, my man.
Appreciate it.
There are no parties here to be crashed.
Had a little time on my hands. Thought I'd come talk some tech. You know.
A little football here. Like I told Josh, there's no doubt in my mind that the strength of this football team is the back four. From Levander Liggins and Adarius Barnes at the corner spots to Xavier Woods and Kentrell Bryce and Lloyd Grogan, and the list goes on. Bryson Abraham at corner, Colby Brown at corner. These guys are pretty talented in the defensive secondary. And in the linebackers, in the two deep is talented as well. The back seven truly is pretty talented. The defensive line should be pretty good, especially at D tackle and at the first line of D ends with Houston Bates and Vontarius Dora. Defensively, Tech should be pretty okay.
Absolutely, and you still haven't mentioned Tony Johnson. Tony Johnson is a guy that's really come on
the monster
this summer. One of the things that Josh mentioned, and I won't try to pronounce his last name, even though
McCushton.
It is. Phonetically, he mentioned attacking the middle of the field when it came to the offense and stuff. And something that you mentioned earlier was Sokol, Cody Sokol. Cody Sokol is he just has leadership capabilities. He's a guy who's a lot more vocal of a leader than maybe Scotty Young was last year. Scotty, nothing against Scotty, he just wasn't very vocal. Didn't really take control of the huddle, didn't really take control of the team, didn't really take control of the offense. But Cody Sokol is a guy that in a very short time has really shown that he's going to be a vocal leader, a capable leader, and can lead that offense down the field.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. And the one concern I have is Tech doesn't have very many tall quarterbacks, and when you see their nose tackle is 6'6",
sure,
334 pounds. He's over 300 pounds. That's all that matters. He's huge.
But I was listening to the last segment, and besides that guy, they've got a 289-pound end, a 273 end, and then three linebackers that are 220, 227, 238. You know, Tech's got a really big offensive line, and I feel like Tech's front five plus a tight end, those six guys are going to overmatch those front six for Oklahoma size-wise. Obviously, they've got the one big dude there, but Tech's got Mitchell Bell at like 354.
I worry about the point of attack with Brunson being Tech's smallest offensive lineman at the center position at what probably let's call him 300 after he's eaten at Griff's.
Oh yeah, but you're going to double team that big guy, and what I feel
you hope
like,
you can if they blitz too many though you can't.
And so what I like is Kenneth Dixon off the edge behind a Bell on the right side, and then one of these 200-pound safeties trying to come up here and tackle him, or even a 220-pound linebacker. Dixon's going to break more tackles the first guy than not.
Let's go to the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline on line two with Jesse. Jesse, what's going on, man?
How you doing, guys?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Does Tech run a 34 defense or 4-3?
It's going to be a little bit of both, honestly. They're going to drop that linebacker back, or the Viper position, the DN back in the coverage, so you'll have an odd man front there. I think they'll even roll an odd man front out there. So it'll be a little mix of a 4-3, a 4-2-5, a 3-4, a little bit of everything, honestly. They're calling both sides of the ball multiple these days, so it's kind of hard to pigeonhole them in one category.
Well, that nose tackle, is he being looked at by the NFL?
Text nose tackle or Oklahoma's nose tackle?
The 6'6".
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a second, I mean, a third-year sophomore, so this will be his first year to be eligible for the draft. But, yeah, I mean, somebody that size playing at that high of level, you got to think he's going to be way up there.
Yeah, McQuestion said last time, that last segment, that he had back surgery last year. So if he can stay healthy, that's the biggest thing for him. If he can stay healthy and stay out of the operating room, he's got NFL written all over him.
All right, one more question, and I'll hang up. How does Tech stack up against ULM talent-wise, offense and defense?
All right. I personally think that Tech's got better talent on both sides of the ball. When you look at recruiting-wise, period, Tech's got multiple guys. Every one of Tech's guys has got several offers, and the majority of ULM signees have one offer. I'm not taking a shot. I'm just laying it out there that's the facts. So that's how I see it.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good night.
Appreciate it.
And I would compare Tech's recruiting a little bit more to Louisiana Lafayette. You know, the Cajuns have had 3 or 4 years of quality football, and they've had better recruiting, and so they'll actually go up against Tech and get a few that we wanted, and vice versa. But you just don't see Tech and ULM recruiting head to head near as much.
I mean, you'll see some guys that they both offer. So yes, there are quote unquote recruiting head to head, but it doesn't happen often. It has in the past. I'm not saying it hasn't. That ULM's won some of those battles, but it doesn't happen often. Appreciate the phone call, Jesse. On the Keller Williams Parish Wide Hotline, 888-993-7762. Let's take a break right here. On the other side of the break, we'll hopefully get a call from Tommy McClellan, Athletic Director at Louisiana Tech from the Bahamas, talking a little basketball. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Season 7, Episode 1. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we go to the Keller Williams Parish Wide Hotline and Tommy McClellan live from the Bahamas.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse.
Tommy, how's it going down there in paradise?
It's going very well. The sun just set over the Caribbean, and we're getting ready to go to a little dinner.
Oh, what a rough life you're living right now. Well, Tommy, last night was not close. And just tell us what it was like watching Tech really dominate that game.
Well, you know, first of all, you got to understand that the importance of this trip is about the practices leading up to it, and then obviously the game. As though it relates to getting better. And, you know, these are the team that we played, you know, last night was a semi-pro team. And quite frankly, I'm not too sure that, you know, a couple of the coaches couldn't have been out there and done a little better. You know, Mike's got a better jump shot, some of those guys. But again, it's situational. Mike called a lot of timeouts and made them work on things, and he played a lot of different lineups just to kind of see at one time. He had all his freshmen out there at one time, and so, you know, it's just a way for him to kind of work through it. Now, the team that we play tomorrow, the Bahamian All Stars, Bahama All Stars, beat North Carolina 3 days ago, I believe. So, I think the competition will kind of step up a little bit. But again, there was a purpose and a reason. Even in the strong defeat, we got a lot out of it, and that was the purpose of the whole deal.
And so did it look like some of the guys are starting to gel already? Is even early in the tournament?
Well, yeah, I think the 10 days of practice has helped. But, you know, what you're seeing is they're still young. I mean, you know, it's probably a good thing that we played the team that we played first, you know, versus getting into some tougher competition where, you know, there's a level of intensity and you know, the competition is tougher. But there's no doubt that the benefits of the practices and the games and just the camaraderie of being together and learning each other and kind of the language that you speak, if you will, on the court, is going to help. This is going to be helpful, win, lose, or draw the next two games. This is going to help us not only in October when we start season again and start practice in November when we start our first game. It's really hopefully going to help in March. You know, I mean, that's really where this whole thing is being built around.
Tommy, whenever you started approaching alumni about fundraising for this trip, was it met? I'm sure with open arms.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and in many cases, you know, some of the alumni were kind of calling to us and saying, hey, what can we do to help basketball? You know, and so we had kind of already got together. Mike and I had got right after the season and talked about a few things that could really benefit the program. And what we did was we had just hired Tyler at Summit. And, of course, there are some things that he had evaluated of the program that felt like he needed. And so this is actually a joint project. We've kind of called it the Basketball Enhancement Project over the summer through LTAC. We're asking people to increase their giving to LTAC for this summer. And we basically are going to renovate completely, upgrade and renovate the locker room for the Lady Texters, which is sorely needed. It's been about 15 years, I believe, since the last time that's happened. And then, of course, the Bahamas trip. So it was a double deal. So you're talking to a donor, hey, it's not only about men's basketball, it's about women's basketball too. And so we're trying to make sure that we're doing both for both programs, and it's been a good summer for it. Fundraising is there, and like you said, there was the appetite for both. You know, the excitement on the women's side and the men's side was there. So if there was a person that had the money, they gave it.
So you're also, while we're at it, we might as well talk a little Lady Texters. So when y'all have been on the fundraising trail, Tyler's been met with great applause.
Yes, I mean, you know, it's just obviously at this point it's based somewhat on reputation and impression. You know, what the reputation of he and his family, and then also the impression that he gives people when he meets them. That's really what it's based on at this point, because, you know, most people haven't even watched him really coach or been at a practice yet, because they haven't really had those practices this summer because they didn't go on the tour. But I mean, what I've seen behind the scenes is just he's a remarkable talent that Louisiana Tech is very fortunate to have. And, you know, we're just working through getting a program that, as we all know, wasn't where it needs to be, trying to get it back to where we want it to be. And that's going to be a process. You know, Mike White inherited a program that was similar, but had no history and no precedent, and has done something amazing in two or three years. And I think Tyler will do something very similar.
Well, Tommy, we really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight amongst your busy schedule of looking at sunsets over the Caribbean.
Well, thank you, guys. I'll see you back on – I'll be back on Thursday night, and then, of course, we'll be in Monroe at the Happening. Encourage all of our Tech fans there back in North Louisiana, if you haven't already, buy your tickets to the Happening at the Monroe Civic Center, the largest gathering of Tech alums each summer.
Tommy, we really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you Friday at the Happening.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
Tommy McClellan, Athletic Director, Louisiana Tech, joining us here talking live from the Bahamas.
Right, and Tommy mentioned that the Bahamas All-Stars defeated North Carolina. That's actually not true. North Carolina squeaked that victory out 109-52.
Yeah, I think that story kind of got out there in the Tech rounds, and maybe Coach White was using that to motivate his guys. But
well,
yeah.
They did lose to the Providence Storm two nights before, 84-83. So it wasn't.
But I don't think Tech's playing them.
Correct. No, they're not. But that was where that story about UNC losing an exhibition game came from. But it was not to the Bahamas All-Stars.
Talking a little bit about last night's game, final score 134-52. Tech prevails over whoever the Pyramid Food Rockets are. One rumor I heard was they didn't even have uniforms. So there's that. Tech's newcomers were really impressive. I know that's not a surprise for anybody that's seen the Tech's newcomers play, but the usual suspects: Speedy Smith, 12 assists to two turnovers, finished with 7 points. Raheem Appleby, 11 points, 3 for 6 from three. Eric McCree, he's one of the newcomers. We'll get back to him. And then Mike Kaiser with, where is it, two blocks and two personal fouls, 8 points. Then we'll go to the newcomers, because Alex Hamilton is nursing an injury, so he's not playing in this tournament. So the rest are all new faces. Eric McCree, the transfer from Murray State, finished with 10 points in 19, almost 20 minutes. Janiah White, the 7-footer, in 12 and a half minutes, finished with one block and 8 points. Deion Griffin, freshman point guard from St. Petersburg, Florida, in 18 minutes, finished with 18 points, 7 assists to 3 turnovers. Xavier Stapleton, 19 points on two of six from the three-point line, 1 of 1 from the free throw line. That's a guy that's he's every bit of 6'6", and he'll be a two guard before he's done at Louisiana Tech. I'm not sure there's anybody that can keep him from shooting a three-pointer. Jacoby Boykins, also from the St. Petersburg area, finished with 14 points in almost 19 minutes, 3 for 4 from the three-point line, with 6 assists and 2 turnovers. Brandon Shepherd from Huntington and Shreveport finished with 6 points on 3 of 4 shooting with 3 rebounds. Merle Holden, on 14 and a half minutes, finished with 2 points and four offensive rebounds, 5 rebounds total. Leo Edwards, the redshirt freshman from Detroit, Michigan area, 10 rebounds in his debut as a Bulldog, almost a double-double, 9 points. So a guy that I really wasn't expecting a ton from this year, and here he goes and nearly gets him a double-double.
Well, with Causer's lack of weight, I mean, if you're playing a team that's pretty strong inside, at least he's got somebody he can turn to get in there and have some defensive position and get a couple of rebounds.
Yeah, that's what Leo's role is going to be. He's going to play the four and be able to bang and get some rebounds and keep plays alive, tip the ball out to the guards. But this, people, if you haven't bought your season tickets yet, and you're, even if you're not a basketball fan, if you're a Louisiana Tech fan and want to watch some exciting things happen in the TAC, basketball is going to be exciting this year.
Absolutely. Basketball is once again going to be they're going to have a great season. I know it's still early to talk about basketball, but, you know, what a team that this could be. I really think Eric McCree is going to step in and do a really good job. Also, the junior college transfer, Kedar Davis.
Kedar.
Is going to have another, you know, really big impact. I was just excited to see that, you know, they didn't just score a lot of points, but they shot high percentages. They shot 63% from the field. They shot 45% from three. Also, the defense forced 24 turnovers. So,
and they had 17 steals.
Gosh.
Well, and what's crazy is, you know, the team's a young team. You've got 3 seniors, 2 juniors, 2 sophomores. I mean,
right.
It's pretty young. So, I mean, the sky's the limit.
And then you're missing your leading scorer from a year ago in Alex Hamilton. So, if it, to early project the starting lineup, it's not, you're not going out on a long branch with this, but Speedy will be starting at the point. Alex will be at the 2. Raheem will be at the 3. Eric McCree will be at the 4, and Kaiser will be at the 5. There's little doubt that that'll probably be what the starting lineup looks like. Do you agree, Jason?
Yeah, and then I think Davis will probably be your sixth man, and then everything else is really going to be, you know, which freshman can get that seventh man, eighth man, ninth man roles. But and I'm including Holden as a freshman. He's really a sophomore, but I mean, it's going to be tough to get minutes. I know he plays a lot of players, but, you know, some of these guys are going to have a hard time getting on the floor for more than just a couple minutes at a time.
I mean, when you look at it, Tech played Speedy 21 minutes, 57 seconds, so basically 22 minutes, and he played the longest out of the entire roster, and only one player saw single-digit minutes in Brandon Shepherd, and he saw 7 minutes. So he showed off his depth last night in the Bahamas, but it's going to be an exciting team. The shortest player on the team is Speedy at 6'1".
Yeah, and even if he redshirts somebody like Shepherd, he's going to have 12 players he can go to, and he has not had that since he's been in Ruston. He's always had a player sitting out due to being a transfer or somebody that was injured or just didn't have 13 scholarships to use at the beginning. So, I mean, to have 13 guys, or even if he redshirts one, having 12, I mean, he's going to have just loads and loads of players he can run out there.
But you lose 3 players, so they'll sign 3. It looks like there's a point guard from the state of Florida. I know that's just shocking for anybody that follows Tech basketball recruiting. It seems like they live in Florida during the recruiting times. that it looks like Tech is in good shape for Derek Jean. He will officially visit Tech, Florida Gulf Coast, and FIU. So there's one player that that Tech has a shot to fill one of the three spots with. I don't even know if they're with how they filled in the 2013 class, right? Yeah, we're going, our 2014 class. I really don't even know if they'll go after specific positions. I think they just may look for the three best players they can find. I think point guard's a necessity.
You'll get a point guard and then maybe one wing and one post, but that's not written in stone. You've seen them offer a whole lot of 6'7", 6'8", forwards and a whole lot of 6'3", 6'4", guards. So, and, you know, they might get the Michigan kid from the junior college that they had signed out of high school 2 years ago.
Dominique Jackson. If he keeps playing like he did this past year, that will be one of the guys, and he's just another sharpshooter from the outside. And there was some talk that how would Tech replace Keon McNeil in his three-point shooting. I don't think they've done it with one person per se, but when you think of guys like Xavier Stapleton, Deion Griffin, Jacoby Boykins, they all can shoot the three. Kedar Davis can shoot the three. Merle Holden can shoot the three. You don't have one guy that's necessarily your spot-up three-point shooter, but you've got so many guys that somebody's going to be hot. Odds are at least one of them should be hot every night. I think that's really how they're going to not replace Keon, because you really never can place a player like Keon, but you can replace his scoring with multiple faces instead of just his one. Let's take this break, the final break of the first episode of Season 7 of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, where my man Joe Dirt is on point with the tunes this evening.
Which college team's theme song is that?
What the heck are you talking about?
The Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
I don't know. Who?
I don't know. I'm asking. I thought he was trying to say something.
I thought it was a rhetorical question. I didn't realize it was rhetorical.
I didn't realize that it was a real question.
It turns out it wasn't. Season 7, Episode 1.
Oh, man.
Brought
to you by Keller Williams Paris Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse.
It didn't take us very long to digress, did it?
No. That's typically what we do doesn't, here. It typically doesn't, especially not on the last segment of the first show of Season 7.
We talked a little bit football recruiting, how the fast start for Louisiana Tech recruiting in football is really impressive, and they're going to be very particular as they close out this class. They don't have to take a quarterback. They might. They've offered some. You can to expect this class to finish out with a couple of offensive linemen, linebackers. Jason, what else am I missing? Since you're the recruiting analyst.
I feel like they still need a couple more offensive linemen, maybe one more big defensive tackle. I mean, they're pretty much loaded in the secondary, but, yeah, another linebacker, maybe another receiver. And really at this point, it's kind of like basketball. They've got the recruiting class so built up, they can just take the best player available.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to ask. Either one of you can answer this question. I just wanted to know from your perspective as far as covering, as you know, from a recruiting standpoint, obviously they can afford to be a little more particular when it comes to the players that they bring in now that they've already gotten up to that 18. But, you know, realistically, they could start off 0-4, 1-4, something, or 1-3, something like that. Do you think any of these players are going to perhaps?
Now they realize, every one of them that we've talked to, and I think you'd agree with this, is they realize that this is a rebuilding. This year's not going to be there's no quick fix, and it's
on the field doesn't matter, and especially just a 3 or 4 week little section. They're looking at facilities being built. They see the dirt moving. They see themselves as being a part of you know, rebuilding the program and being the new wave, especially on the defense. They talk about building a dream team. They want to be part of something new, and the excitement that Coach Diaz brings. So, you know, at the end of the year, once the high school season kind of wears down, if Tech's starting to win some, the facilities are starting to be built, you see a few more bricks going up on the wall, you know, I think come December when they need to close the deal with a few more kids, you know, the excitement's going to be there.
And, you know, you talk about how they could possibly be 0-4, and of course anything's possible. The way that I see that first four-game stretch, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but Oklahoma, ULL, Northwestern State, Auburn, is that how it goes?
No, it's
North Texas is in there.
North Texas, then Auburn's fifth.
Right, Auburn is actually State. Fifth.
Oh, okay.
So I guess 1-4, of course, you know, the Northwestern game
so
being a win.
Oklahoma, I don't think anybody's going to pick Tech to win that game whenever we do our predictions next week, so let's go ahead and call that a loss. ULL is a game that I think Tech can win.
Oh, absolutely. I am certainly not saying that they're going to start 1-4. I just wonder what the impact on recruiting could be. You know, you're looking at a guy like Johnny Shaw that's been committed to TCU. He's been committed to Texas. Now he's committed to Louisiana Tech. If Tech starts off 1-5 on the season,
he's just tired. That, in his specific case, he's tired of the process. He's been dropped by TCU. He's been dropped by Texas. He just wants to get this thing over with.
Right.
I think if signing day was yesterday, he would have signed with Louisiana Tech, and just he doesn't care when signing day is. He's done.
And to clarify that schedule, of course, Louisiana Tech will start at Oklahoma. Louisiana Lafayette is game two, followed by North Texas. Then the home opener, Northwestern State. Then they travel to Auburn. And, you know, looking at that schedule, I mean, you could say they could close out the season on a six-game winning streak.
Well, and Tech started 1-4 before, and the last time was Sonny Dykes' second
sure.
year. Similar situation. Starts at 1-4, had the disappointing loss to Houston, just like if Tech goes and has a disappointing close loss to Lafayette or North Texas. But then they got on a roll. They won several in a row and won the WAC. So it can be done.
You're taking the words out of my mouth, Jason. The ULL and North Texas are the two. They have to win one of those two.
They have to, but they don't have to. They really want to, but it's not the end of the world. It's just going to put them in a really rough spot.
I am of the opinion they have to, because if you don't, you've got such a losing momentum. I know that's not a term, but we just created it. You've got such a momentum of losing that you've got to win one of those two in order to get to bowl eligibility. And let's be honest, that's what every college football player wants to do every year, is play in a bowl.
Yeah, and I would agree with you too normally, but just I'm talking about looking back at 2010 or whatever year it was, you know, they're 1-4, all hope is lost, and then they go and start beating teams that they've never beat before. They go and beat Nevada on the road, which I don't think has happened very often. And so they did win like 7 in a row or 6 in a row, and they got to 7-5 somehow by winning, you know, 6 out of their last 7 games. And the schedule does lend itself to that. If Tech can if Tech can get it together, they start 1-4, but they don't get their heads down, they can win 6 out of their last 7, finish 7-5. It's not impossible. It's just going to be really hard.
They're very fortunate that their draw of the Eastern teams that they did
Marshall
or FAU or FIU.
Yeah, they got UAB, Western Kentucky, Old Dominion.
Western Kentucky is the toughest of that three game stretch.
Correct. Conceivably they could go 5-2 in conference play with losses to, you know, maybe North Texas and
Rice
or UTSA
or
five,
UTSA.
5-3. It would have been 5-3, right, or 6-2.
He can't read. Rice is on there.
It's the last one, I believe.
Yeah, the right last game of the year.
But it's here. UTSA is on the road, so I mean that's going to be pretty tough. And that last game, you know, it could be Tech's going for, you know, Tech's sitting at 5-6 or 6-5 and trying to fight for position and getting in a bowl game. So that Rice game is going to be huge.
There's a lot of people that are expecting some things out of UTSA. They've got to find a quarterback. That's
right.
The biggest
Sosa
question mark on UTSA.
Well, is the freshman – didn't they name the freshman from Carthage, Texas, just right down the road from Shreveport, threw for like 5,000 yards last year?
He's a true freshman?
Yeah. Did they name him the starter or not?
I haven't been paying attention, to be completely honest.
But they've got like 19 starters coming back, so if they can find somebody to get them the ball, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, I just – we've seen covering Louisiana Tech what true freshmen – do at the quarterback position. I would never want a true freshman starting at quarterback. So that's a concern if you're a UTSA fan. Rice has got to replace a quarterback as well, but he just keeps things rolling down there. David Bailiff does.
David Bailiff is my favorite coach of Conference USA.
Oh, I know he is.
He's my favorite coach of Conference USA. And every year it seems as though Rice has gotten just a little bit better. Even no matter, you know, losing tight ends to the NFL, losing quarterback from last year.
Even the running back.
Right. They just continue to look like each year they improve. And coming from a school like Rice, which is really known for academics rather than athletics, it's impressive. I like what David Bailiff is doing down there.
It absolutely is. Thanks for joining us for Season 7, Episode 1. Don't forget, check us out on Twitter, at Bleed Tech Blue. You can find us on Facebook, BleedTechBlue.com. Hashtag the show, BTB Radio. I'm at VJ Ford on Twitter. He's at Jared King, Jared W. King.
At Jared W. King on Twitter.
Come check out BleedTechBlue.com. 7-day free trial. You won't be disappointed. Every day, we're adding more folks, and they're joining the Tech Drive message board community and enjoying their time discussing amongst other Tech fans. Come check us out. Till next week, we'll see you then.
Been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN 90.